Bear with me.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Bear With Me podcast. I'm Tom, and I'll be your host today. Go around the table. We have Jason.
Hello.
He's not really here. Lydia.
Hi.
Callum.
Hey.
And Josh.
I'm here.
So what's up, guys?
I was wondering, do you reckon if you're driving a car? Because I was just wondering today, just
while she was driving.
When you drive, do you reckon people can tell? What do you think people can tell you're doing in your car? Like, as in, if you pick a wedgie. Do you reckon people in other cars can see that?
Well, it depends. Are they right next to you?
They're in the car with me.
He's driving the screen. He's just looking at you like, lean to one side, reach down and pull it out.
Vision impaired or not.
I pulled up, I'm filming next to a guy.
Why is a vision impaired person driving a car?
No, next to you.
Oh,
okay. You can sort of tell, you pull up next to a guy with lights and you can sort of see him lean over like that. You're like, oh, that guy is farting right now.
Well, which direction would be the hardest to tell that someone's farting?
If they put their legs all the way up onto the dashboard.
And then you see the dew.
And then you see it fog up the place.
The windshield gets... I just see him, he panics, so he turns on the windscreen wiper, so it's not working. It's on the inside.
He's just spreading it.
And then he just puts on the hazards and everyone's driving around.
Is this because the other day we saw the guy pick his nose in the car and eat it?
Well,
is it that one?
Also because I had a wedgie while I was driving. And I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if people know. But it was an added standstill.
Did you put on the hazard lights?
I put it in park.
Be safe, gotta be safe.
But yeah, also like people who like pick their nose. We drove past someone who picked their nose and ate it. What else can people see? Because I'm just like, when I'm in my car, I just think, like, I'm invincible. No one can see me.
People can see you, but because they're never ever going to see you again, they don't care.
Yeah. But these days and age, the technology where everyone's got, like,
a
camera.
Be on Snapchat, yeah.
Yeah, you'll probably be on Snapchat or you find yourself on YouTube later on.
I mean, like, yeah, while you're driving, although if you drive the same way every day, you might see that same person again. And then they might see you, and you might do that awkward like, eye contact thing where you're like, yeah. I saw what you
did. I saw you lift your legs above the dashboard. Fuck up your car and turn your hazards on. I remember you.
I will never forget.
Well, if you want to pick your nose and eat it, just do a fart in the car and fog up the windows.
See it happen. Well, Jason and I were driving to Chadston yesterday, and as we're going down, I was in the passenger seat, and I just turned over, and the driver looked right at me. And we just kind of like made weird eye contact,
like Terminator style.
Who looks away first? Do you look away or do you just keep staring?
No, you stare.
You just got to keep.
It's a power game at that point.
Yeah, it's cat and mouse.
Yeah.
And then wind down your window.
And then fire the window.
Put the legs out.
See how much of your body you can get out the window.
Crazy tradie time. Climb into the back seat.
I was thinking the other day, and it kind of relates to, like, you know, being on the road and, like, all the, like, really annoying stuff that happens. And every time I go to petrol stations, the colour of the, like, unleaded fuel is different.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're all trying to trick us somehow, and they've got this little, like, round circle happening in this, like, little, like, cafe or, like, cigar bar, and they're all like, what colour are you gonna have? You're, like, 91 unleaded. Like, unleaded. And they're all just like, oh, yeah, let's just all change the colour so everyone's always confused no matter what.
And because every time. Same.
Yeah, they're never the same. There's no colour consistency. So it's like, why?
They're hoping,
like,
for that one person who puts in the 98. They want the premium. Come on.
Yeah. So they get like an extra $4 on your full tank.
Oh, so it is that much expensive.
Yeah, it's an extra like 20 cents.
What is it? There's 91. There's 90.
Five.
There's 98.
and diesel. So they'd really screw you over if they change it to the diesel car.
Diesel's like, flood your engine sort of thing.
There'd be something wrong with you if you got halfway through filling up the car and then realised it was diesel. I feel like it's pretty obvious when you're pumping diesel.
What
cars
actually use diesel? Like,
what cars?
Yeah.
Lots of four-wheel drives and
stuff. Because diesel's heaps cheaper,
Yeah, a lot of... not touring cars, but like a lot of the German cars use diesel. You get diesel versions of everything.
I know someone that needs to sell their car, but like is so like stubborn to not sell the car because they think that it will appreciate in value, and it's diesel. And they said in about 20 years' time, everyone's gonna want it because no one has it. But it's like no one can drive it. There will be no diesel.
So I need to sell my car now, but if I wait 20 years, it may be worth more.
And it may be just your Palmer rust at that point.
Cars have never appreciated about it, unless it's like Lamborghinis. Exactly.
Have you ever seen someone fill up E10?
E10, no.
By mistake?
No, because normally their cars are too slow to make it to this.
He's the guy pushing it on the side with his indicators on, hazards on. It's either he's trying to make it to E10 or he farted in the car.
What is E10? Is that like, does your car need to be compatible with it? Or can you just pump it in?
You can pump it into any engine. Mm. I think.
That's why he's pushing his car.
Let me know.
Yeah, the rules of mobile phones while pumping your car. Is that stick? Are you allowed to have it in your pocket?
You can't have a Samsung Note. I think that's sort of... Note 7 kind of proved that. Don't risk it.
I heard they're selling Samsung Notes as firelighters now.
Yeah. I think they're rebranded, right? They call them like...
firecrackers.
No. Like the Samsung... I can't remember what it's called, but they gave it a new name.
Samsung.
The No Explosion.
Fire Safe.
It's lit.
Well, a band on planes.
Like,
I think it's stupid rule.
I think it says don't use your phone.
Yeah.
But it's the same reason why, aircraft say don't use your phone.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Do you reckon it's the same amount?
No, it's the same reason.
It's not some dude sitting in a tower waiting for like the petrol people to come. It's like, oh no, we've lost the signal.
Because the airplane's like the signal kind of thing, as in, so it doesn't go. Yeah. Whereas the thing in petrol stations, it's got to do with
sparking. Yeah.
So am I allowed to have the mobile phones in our pockets?
You can. Yeah.
Are we allowed to be texting? Are we allowed to be inside the car texting?
The question is this. If you do it, who's going to stop you? Other than an explosion.
Wait. I feel like the explosion's a pretty big source.
Can't he warn us? Can't he send them?
They say don't use your mobile phones, but they've got TVs now.
Yeah.
At all the stops, so...
It has to be some sort of radio signal. Mm. But it's all, like, shoved inside the... the airtight container or whatever.
It's like within the gas pump itself.
It's even worse.
You look inside, it's like really dodgy wiring. It's like sparking. Like,
and this is like petrol flowing inside the TV.
Like a little combustion engine.
Well, like a whole car has electrical systems.
Yeah, that's why you turn your car off, though.
Oh, you're supposed to do that?
Uh-oh.
I've got mine in first gear.
I'm ramping it up. I just got the handbrake on.
No, I let it roll as I fill it up so that I don't wait. I just can jump in straight away and go off.
Yeah. Just so you can leave the aircon at the same time.
Yeah, keep the heater going.
I've got my ashtray there with all my smoke. Waiting.
I think I need to fearmonger somehow, like... You know, you can't smoke anywhere anymore, so now they gotta like stop you from using a mobile phone everywhere. You know, in the past they were like, oh yeah, everyone can smoke in like restaurants, and everyone can smoke anywhere, and then they're like, oh, actually nah, I don't think you can smoke anywhere anymore, and you can't use your mobile phone anywhere. I reckon eventually like we'll only be able to use our
mobile
phones.
Mobile phones are gonna be phased out.
No, I think
mobile phones will phase out. That's what you're saying.
It become wearables.
They'll be phased out in a lot of restaurants, I reckon. The more hips to the restaurant, the more likely they are to phase out mobile phones.
We got our mobile phones confiscated in Indochine, in Box Hill.
Really?
Where? Yeah. Where? Indochine. Really? Like, he was joking. Oh. But, like, will they... Like,
but they actually took him.
Yeah, they actually took him. It's like, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. You're taking fucking...
basically, they just... So, basically, they just stole your phone, hacked it, and gave it back.
No, they get back at the end. I think it's like, they said, oh, you mean rude, not talking to your wives, blah, blah, blah.
Your wives?
Yeah. How many people did you go with?
No, I was there with my brothers and their wives.
Oh, right.
I was gonna be like, I think there's
more rude things. Yeah. Did you tell them the important basketball news you need to keep up with?
Yeah, well, that's why he took the phone.
He's probably like looking it up himself.
I think that's a huge thing for them to assume, that they just come up and be like, you're being rude. We're gonna take. What if there was an emergency? What if you were on call? What if
they weren't your wife?
Yeah, exactly. I need a way for my wife to call.
I've been kidnapped by these women.
Yeah.
It's a Tinder date and it's going really badly and you know, just checking out your options.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge... I've never
How old that. Was the waiter who did that? He must have been at least 60 plus.
I think he was like the owner of the place.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
Right. Well, is this a Chinese restaurant?
That's in there. So it's like, you know, it's one of those Vietnamese restaurants, but it's called like Indochine. They cater for like, at least during the week, for like, you know, cashed up white people.
Speaking of white people, we were at,
Oh yeah, let's take that out. That's what I was really talking about.
Asian food and white people. We're at the, as Josh mentioned, we went to the Thai place before. This is probably the first Thai restaurant I've been to where there was a majority of Asian people in the restaurant.
That's pretty rare for a Thai place.
Exactly, yeah. Right? It is the only cuisine, or only Asian cuisine, I should say. Maybe Japanese. No, not even Japanese. No, Japanese. Thai food is usually white dominated in the restaurants.
But it's funny because a lot of white people, as we said in the last episode, can't take hot food.
That's true.
But they like Thai.
Thai's are really
It's not the spicy.
No, but you can take it out, right? Thai food in Thailand, super spicy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can always just make it sweet.
Here it's more sweet and mild.
If you were Thai and you couldn't take spice and you were allergic to nuts, you'd be screwed.
Well, that's how
you'd
they weed screwed. Them all out, right? The first time they have food when they're a baby.
Oh, really? This is just fill her up with nuts.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think a lot of white people go to Thai restaurants because they're just terrible at cooking. And then just there's no chance that you can cook Thai food by yourself. Like, every time I've cooked Thai food, it tastes like just, you know, like the worst Thai restaurant you've ever been to, that all the curries just taste like the one curry, but with a slightly different flavour.
And a different colour.
That's pretty much what happens when I try and cook any Thai food. I like go exactly by the recipe and everything like that, and then somehow it always turns out terribly. Mm. I think it's because I'm white.
But then why is it then that like when you go to like a Chinese restaurant or a Vietnamese restaurant or Japanese, there's usually more Asians there.
Hmm.
Well, at least that's how I judge if it's good. A Thai place, if I see a lot of Asians, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be a good Thai place.
I don't trust this place.
I think because a lot of the Thai... So for some reason, like, you know, a lot of the Southeast Asian cuisine, they always use the same ingredients, right? Like, it's sort of, you know, it's hot, so yeah. blah, 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 chili, garlic, whatever. But everything else is cheaper. So you go to a Vietnamese restaurant and you compare it side by side to a Thai restaurant, it's generally cheaper. Same with Chinese and all that. Hmm. So I think that's why it's sort of... The white people generally are there. Or maybe it's because it's more expensive because white people.
So you're saying it's not that more white people go to the Thai restaurants. It's just that the Asians can't afford the Thai food or don't want to spend on the Thai food.
They realize that because it's the same ingredients cooked in a different way, they may as well go eat something else.
That is like epic, like money saves. Like, why eat Thai food when I can go to this Chinese restaurant? It's the same ingredients.
But the
mentality of the Asians, right, is that they'll only go somewhere where there's heaps of people of the originating race, right? So they'll go, oh, we're only going to like Japanese restaurants that there's a lot of Japanese people at.
Yeah, but that's what I think about.
So Asians see like a Thai place and it's just full of white guys and they're like, well, I don't really want to go there.
But that's because the white guys initially were like, oh, that restaurant's got a lot of Thai people going there. And then they went there and slowly the Thai people were like, oh, this restaurant's got a lot of white people here. So they didn't go. So it's like a circular thing where like...
Or maybe the white people go to the restaurant.
So it's like a cycle. In a couple of years, it's just going to be all Asians again.
I think that happened. The white people go to the restaurant and it's like, oh, there's a lot of white people there. Must be clean.
Oh, yeah.
Must be good.
They've also got a better wine list when they get white people in.
That's true.
Asian restaurants have terrible wine lists.
Yeah, it's because they know everyone just drinks tea.
Very ambiguous tea, by the way. It's like, how long has this been sitting there? Is this just warm water that's in a brown mug?
Yeah, it's not very strong. Unless you like pay extra for like the jasmine or whatever.
Oh, speaking of tea, we went to, there's this place in Glen Waverley that does the milk tea, the Taiwanese milk tea.
Mm.
So like it has the like bubble cup and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went to this one around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night and said, and it's like the signature one. It's like premium.
Did you say this last week?
No.
Did you guys hear this?
No.
Maybe because I've heard it multiple times.
That was a very high voice. Did you hear this? I heard this last week.
Me? Yeah.
Yeah, so they have this one on the menu called premium milk tea, and it's like the signature one there. We try and order it, and it's like, sorry, we're sold out. A milk tea place that sells our milk tea. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll have just a hot chocolate. And they're like, sorry, we're sold out of that as well.
So did they sell out of milk?
Well, we asked them, what do you have? And they said, we have oolong and Earl Grey.
We can make it
so the ones that are in bags.
Oh, I'll grab the Earl Grey white. Sorry, we're sold out.
But I just love, like, the instant, like, just the dead face was just like, can we get the premium milk tea out of milk, out of premium milk tea? Okay, what about the hot chocolate then? Out of hot chocolate, what do you have? We're out of this whole list and this whole list.
Except
for Earl Grey and Oolong. And I'm like, oh.
Wait, where was this at? In Glen Waverley.
Was it chat time?
Yeah.
And we went back, like, two nights later. craving it, and we can we please have the premium milk tea? Sorry, we're sold out again as well.
I mean, I feel like you should go in the morning.
Yeah, go in the morning and see if it's sold out in the morning. Maybe they don't even have premium milk tea. Maybe that's how they get people to come back. Because you go for the premium milk tea, you don't get it that time. You're like, well, I'm here, I'll grab this one, I'll come back tomorrow for the premium. Sorry, we're sold out. It's that good. We'll come back the next day. Don't worry.
Suck you in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really bad marketing fucking strategy.
Josh went back twice.
And it's the cheapest one on the menu as well. Everything else is like $2 more.
But at least they told you. At least they told you it was sold out. They didn't just like go back and like disappear and then come back with something else and be like, oh, no, here you go.
What? They try and make their own
or like, I've had that happen to me.
What? No.
Or they're like,
you're playing around with milk tea. That's really dangerous.
Even it was in Vietnam, but like we ordered like some like egg coffees in like
egg coffee.
Yeah, they're like
did they give you the egg
whites and it's like just all like fluffy and stuff.
Are you sure that's a Vietnamese thing? That sounds a bit.
I don't know. That's French. Well, apparently it's probably a French influence. Oh, but we ordered like two of these coffees, and like they come out with just like two. Oh no! Like Kristen orders a hot chocolate. They come out with two of these coffees, and they're like, here's your two coffees, and Crystal's like, I ordered a hot chocolate, and they're like, we're out of hot chocolate.
So just give it
to like, so instead you just made whatever. It's like, just, I'm sure she'll like this, whatever, we'll just make it for her. It's like a Macca's if you're like, oh, can I have a Big Mac, and they come out with a chicken burger, and like, oh, reckon you like
it. Using the fish patties as the bun. Yeah. What is this?
That sounds
chicken
delicious.
Stacker. Chicken fish stacker.
That's how my dad.
It's a Big Mac. It's a Big Mac. Come on.
That's how my dad like caters for any guests that come to our house. Can I please get a tea? Can I please get a coffee with white with no sugar? Da, da, da. He was like, yeah, and he's like looks like he's taking everything down. He'll go off and just make a dozen of what he likes and give it out to everybody.
My dad does that as well.
Because he loves his coffee this particular way.
That's why you should.
Super, super sweet.
You shouldn't ask people then.
Don't ask
people. It's just being polite.
Just give them coffees.
So what I'm hearing is coffee.
It's like, oh, so 70s. Okay. I got this. Actually, speaking of milk, we're at, this is again, going back to the Thai restaurant, it just like popped in my
milk?
About half an hour ago. No, so one of the dishes that was on offer was like some stir fry, like curry stir fry. But then like in the description, it's like, with a dash of evaporated milk. How do you have a dash of evaporated milk? What is evaporated
milk? It was there, but it's evaporated.
That's but it's like a coconut curry?
Yeah, no, it was like a curry stir fry. So it was like a red curry stir fry.
Oh, yeah.
but a dash of evaporated milk. Blew my mind.
A spray?
Like milk powder?
A spray might be...
A whiff?
Yeah, whiff maybe. But it was a dash. A dash is you actually putting it on.
Evaporated milk is like condensed milk.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's just like you boil it down a little bit.
Okay, because evaporated milk in my mind is just a cloud of milk.
Like a spray or something.
You didn't think it was an actual thing. You thought they were describing how they were going to present the milk to you.
Oh, the milky evaporated.
So they like take the like silver platter off the thing and just like pour the milk.
Better drink that while it's there.
Just inhale it. But it comes out. Oh, yeah. It just looks like your dish has milk. A thought. It looks like your dish has a thought bubble. That's all.
It's like Heston's new restaurant. It's like evaporated milk.
What was the other thing on the menu? Was it peppercorn?
Yeah, no, it was the same dish. It was like, has peppercorns, which may have anti-cancer properties. Who puts that in the menu?
It had a specific bubble in the corner. It had a specific box saved on the menu, and it said peppercorns, and it said may contain anti-cancer
Not only that, it was like antioxidants, and it's like, and in sufficient quantities may contain. I'm like, how much do you have to freaking eat it?
And they like, you know, getting all these like patients from the Alfred down to like the restaurant, sitting there to like, like stuff themselves every day full of peppercorns. But I'm just going back feeling sick.
But the silly thing is that there's so many things, like, you know, that do have antioxidants and will contain, you know, anti-cancer properties, right? Why put all your money on the peppercorns, which may have...
I'm going to beach tomorrow. I'm not going to put sunscreen, but hey, I got my peppercorn.
But why even put it on the menu? That is not... Who reads a menu and being like, oh, I really want the green curry... But wait, the peppercorn has that, may have anti-cancer properties.
Oh, like, I'm
getting that one.
I'm feeling like something anti-cancerous today.
I think it's just the like resume with the two people who are exactly the same and one has done volunteering.
A resume, but one person will prevent you from having cancer. You've got to go with that guy.
I mean, I may prevent you from having cancer. Well, can't prove it.
Good job.
Can't prove it, but the option's there. Better take Joe.
So one reason why I want to be like someone who hires people in the workplace is because I want to see on resumes the most ludicrous thing that someone
bullshit
claims
that is on there
that someone can claim to do, and you're like, you can't do that. Like, may prevent cancer. You're like, okay,
prove it.
I never
Hey, that's like,
hire me for 30 years. If you don't have cancer, that was me.
But if you do, then that's why I have the may.
May have completed my master's degree.
But like, back in my old workplace, I actually did like for the grad program, I did a lot of the vetting interviews, and you see like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of guys coming through, but you realize that, you know, this gives you a prior to that, you've just spent going through interviews trying to get a grad position to begin with, and it's like so difficult, right?
Mm.
And you formulate this perfect resume to make it sound like you're an absolute boss. And in the end, these people, they just hire you based on like he looked like a bit of a dick. He's not going in.
Yeah.
People are super petty. And
Yeah. That's definitely right. I mean,
did you get heaps of feedback being like, you didn't get it because you look like a bit of a dick.
Oh, no, they just say something like, oh, you're great, but you're not a great fit for the company.
Yeah.
And subsequently,
that's
like,
what she said.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, a couple of years I did interviews for med school admissions. So I was like on the panel for that. And they'd have stations. So you'd have to explain a skill to a layperson or something along those lines. And then you'd give them a score based on the marking sheet, but then there was a global score. So like, just say it was out of 20, and then your global score, you could either just say they got 20 out of 20, but they're wankers, you could give them a lot lower. So I'd do that. I'd just like look
at them. So there was no like marking criteria for the global score?
No, not for the global score. There was individual marking criteria, but then the global score was free reign.
Oh man.
So I was like, don't like you. Let's knock you back a bit.
So it's like the opposite of that test you do in year 12 to like knock your score up. It's like to test how bad of a person you are.
Too arrogant. No, I'm going to mark you down like 5 points.
How accurate do you reckon your viewing of someone, if you think they're an asshole or you think they're really arrogant, do you think that they actually are? Like, what?
So
your asshole radar.
Your asshole radar, that's it.
Wanker.
See, I don't know. Like, because the chances are if you... Because you're seeing a whole bunch of people, right? Like, I don't think anyone who sees it, you know, who's someone you think they're a jerk, turns out they're actually not a jerk. But you'd rather choose a person who isn't a jerk because there's...
All right, what's... Okay, expanding on your question, what rate is more accurate, or, like, what's more accurate for you? Thinking, like, looking at someone thinking they're a wanker and they end up being a wanker, or looking at someone thinking they're a good person and they end up being a wanker? What happens more often?
I think my wanker rate is a lot better
than
I'm a good guy rate.
Yeah. I think mine too.
I'm like, oh, that guy seems really nice. And then, like, wanker. Yeah.
Have an air conditioner.
I think because I'm always the benefit of the doubt. I'm like always the queen of giving people chances. I'm like, maybe they
should be that day. Take a chance because they seem like a good guy, right? And that's why you trust them.
No, but everyone else thinks they're a bit of a dick. But I'm like, oh, I reckon inside they've got a gooey center. I reckon they're a good person inside. And then
they're like, no, that's a weird dick inside as well.
Yeah, they've got a bit of a dick with a gooey center.
Whenever people are like, oh, no, this person's a bit of a dick, I'm always like, oh, give him a chance. I'll give him a chance. And I'm always proven wrong. Every time. If people trust, like, yeah, if people are like, nah, this person.
I just had, like, an imagine, like, in my mind, like, some, like, a situation where everyone was like, oh, this guy's a dick. Like, when you meet him, he's, and you're like, I'm going to give him a chance. And you're just going to be like, hey, dick face. And you're like, all right.
You're in seconds.
he just confirmed it. You're like, all right.
Or,
proven wrong.
I would love for one day, like, everyone's like, this guy's a massive dick. I'll give him a chance. And then a giant dick walks in. An actual dick. It's like, hey!
But he's a really nice guy.
I'm Richard. Yeah, really fantastic nice guy.
Hey, guys, you want to go for lunch on my show?
Fantastic the guy.
Most difficult situation you'll ever face in your entire life. Somebody who's an actual dick, but is a really nice
guy. Brilliant guy. Giant dick.
That sounds like a sketch show kind of thing. Oh, man. You can see it. So funny.
Yeah.
Just bounces in on his balls like.
Wait, on his balls? On his fake balls?
That sounds so painful.
Bouncing on his real balls? Yeah. On his fake balls?
No, he's not just a shaft. He's a shaft and balls.
He's like,
I didn't expect him to just be a shaft.
So it's like one of those, you know those soft balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hold on to you. This
thing. It's two. That would have bad.
Or will he be walking like one ball goes forward?
Or would it be just like a segue? The balls. Are
rolling forwards.
Elon Musk taking notes on the side by Tesla.
Testicular.
But I imagine that it's like what do you call it? What did you like the segway? But then it's like a really bad segue where like keeps like it's really jerky and then the shark keeps like bouncing like back and forth. He's like,
stairs would be a real.
But at that point, would the front part lose its balance and then use its tip to do like a forward somersault and stuff? So,
that's how it gets upstairs.
Like a slinky. It would be like dong, 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 dong.
And this is the person that's going for a job. But he's a really nice guy. He's a genuinely great guy.
A little bit of a dick. he's a really big dick. He's like, he's a little bit of a dick. So he comes in and he's like this tiny dick.
Or he's like, seems like a normal dude, and he goes to shake your hand, he's just got dick fingers. Bit of a dick.
If that were to happen, I still wouldn't put a little bit in front of that.
That's quite a lot of dick.
You probably put in the side notes of the interview, has dicks for fingers.
That would not be good in class. may have dick for fingers.
Maybe a sexual harassment suit waiting to happen. High five.
Susan, you have something on your face.
Hold on. He's got different fingers. Does that mean he's got balls on his palm?
That means he's got 10 balls on his hand.
Instead of like in little knuckle spots, there's just like two of them.
High five!
No, it's just a bracelet.
Oh man, so good. Jeez.
Susan, you know that friend that you, that really sophisticated friend that you want to show your podcast to? Tom?
Yeah, maybe not episode 31.
This is sophisticated. We're talking about
HR.
Yeah, HR. Job interviews.
Sophisticated. So basically, I got a friend who like listens to like political podcasts. You know, like existential philosophy.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm like, oh yeah, I recorded a podcast with a couple of friends. And she was like, you have to show me this podcast. And I was like, crap, time to lower expectations. Should we sit around and talk about stuff? I didn't mention what exactly.
Did you come here this week just to like bring up the sophistication?
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure that's really lost.
I was going to say, because if you did.
Well, let's talk about home loans.
Would you get given a home loan if you were a giant dick? Or if you had dick fingers? Probably not. I know you would. I think you would.
Have a stable income.
Well, you got the cum.
Josh thinks that he has found a loophole in the system. He thinks that by the smartest idea would be to get instead of going out and getting an $800,000 loan, why don't you just get $800,001 loans? Then repayments would be zero, like something like 2 cents, but it rounds down, so you'd have to pay back.
See?
But then,
Shut up!
Then somebody else was like, someone else said, did you know that for every loan you have to pay like $25 fee for that? I'm like, so that means that comes to $1.6 billion.
That's so good.
I thought I had it.
And also, all you need to do is find 800,000 bags. A dollar.
That was almost a good idea.
It was almost, yeah.
And Josh was saying, he's just like, he's like, okay, so a dollar. And he was explaining to you, so he's like, see, each bank, each loan, a dollar, over 30, like, let's say 20, 30 years, you only have to pay 2 cents. I'm like, what point do you think you're going to be sitting down with a mortgage lender and be thinking,
I'd like to borrow a dollar
for 20, 30 years, and they're like, oh yeah, it sounds good.
A 20 year loan.
Let me just crunch the numbers right now.
I'll need to see income statements at least.
Or Josh just said it's automatically 20, 30 years because he was like, oh, because I'll ask for a dollar and they'll be like, all right, so over 20, 30 years, that's going to be 2 cents. I'm like, they're not gonna think, all right, this guy needs 20 years.
And by the time you hit that 20-year mark, they would have almost typed out each of the $1 loans for you.
Yeah.
How would you pay off your loans? Would you just leave some without any repayments and then just put a dollar down and like close out some loans? Or would you just like try and split up like 1/10,000th of a cent?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
Because then it all gets rounded down.
It gets rounded down. I'll pay in cash, please. But zero. I'm out.
But how is it only 2 cents on a dollar over 20 years? Because it's like 2%, like say even 3% loan. That's 3 cents a year. For 20 years, that's 60 cents.
Yeah, but then you say something like monthly repayments.
Yeah.
See?
Ah, smart. This could work.
We told you why it doesn't.
$25 alone. $1.6 billion.
I'm I'm pretty sure this is what happened in Office Space. They were taking like the decimal places off like cents.
Right.
And then that that, like, it's like a
And then they got a decimal point wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, did they?
And they got like millions of dollars in one transaction.
Oh, wow.
But it's like the theory was that if you've got like if everyone has to pay like, you know, like $200 and like 50 cents and it's like 50.34 cents. They take the 0.34 cents and they put it in their account and no one ever sees it because it's 0.5.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
no one ever reads the like the fine print, so that was their assumption, but like that's what you're assuming by taking out these $1 loans is that there's no decimal places.
I mean, he's one involved sitting down with a banker and negotiating a $1 loan.
I don't think we can finish here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. How long would it take to take out 800,000 loans? How long does it take to get out of work?
You have to quit your job.
Well, they'd probably give you the house for free because by the time that person's been working for 10 years on your single account, they've wasted like $1 million of the bank's money just working there for those 10 years.
Not just that. The agent that you have liaising between the bank and the house, right?
Yeah.
That guy is pretty much dedicating his life
yeah.
to settling this house.
You've got 800,000 new loans coming through to your account.
Let's go over them one by one.
No, seriously though, like, what's the quickest you can take out a loan? Just say absolute quickest. Half an hour, 1 hour?
A mortgage?
Mortgage. Or a dollar, $1 mortgage.
Talk about a month, man.
For a $1 mortgage.
Yeah, any sort of mortgage
you can provide. All right, so 800,000 times. Okay, what's a month to get it
and
out?
And you just need to get a pre-approval.
No. It's a month to get it out, though. But how long is the meeting with the banker?
Oh, it's fast.
Like 20 minutes, 30
yeah,
minutes?
Yeah, but
Okay, let's say 30 minutes. Okay, let's say 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes. Best case. No, okay, make it 15
minutes. Best case, they all say yes to this ridiculous idea.
Best case scenario. They all say yes. It takes 15 minutes to meet with each one. 800,000 times. So that's 200,000 hours just to take out your loan.
And that doesn't even include, like, setting off all your paperwork to each individual bank.
How many copies of your driver's license you need?
You could spend your own library photocopy.
And
20?
How many trees have you killed?
20 cents a page to photocopy.
So it takes about maybe 5 or 10 seconds to do your signatures and initials of each of the pages as well.
Wait, 200,000 hours is like 400 years.
Yeah.
No, it's like more than, it's like 600 years, I'm pretty sure, of life. I can calculate it, but I'm pretty sure I saw some, like, greeting card once. It was like, you've lived for 18,000 hours, you're 50 now. No, like, 200,000 hours? Someone
did you say 100,000 or 200,000?
200,000
hours. 200,000
hours.
There's 40 working hours from Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
200,000 by 40.
No, that's what, 1 week. That's 500.
So 40 times 500, 40 times 50 is about a year? Just working days.
Yeah.
So that's
2,000. So you didn't do it at night.
So you need to do it 100 times. This is a daytime thing.
100 years. 100 working years.
To get it out. And then you need to dedicate the time to pay each one off by like...
No, well, it's gradual, right? So by the time you pass 20 years, you would have already paid off...
No, but you haven't even gotten the loans at this time. So you gotta plan this in advance, right? Because you go to the first bank, it's like, I need a $1 loan for in 100 years' time.
And from there, then I will pay
you. Then the interest will start.
Okay, I think we've got it worked out now. It's actually a really good idea.
So we're like, hey, banker, you thought $1 over 20 years was bad? Have a $1 over 100
years. Yeah, I want to take out the loan in 100 years.
Yeah, I'll take out the loan in 100 years for 10 years.
Start paperwork now.
But I want the house now, in advance.
But you know when they give it to you, they break it down as in like where, because they have to add it all up as to where... where all the money's coming from to give to the...
Oh, no.
No seller will buy from you.
That's right, we'll find out in 100 years' time whether they will or won't.
You just gotta hope housing prices don't go up in 100 years.
That's true.
This is Josh's real estate empire.
I'm hiring an army of like 500,000 sad bankers.
I wish Josh was a mortgage broker and they could just give this advice to everyone and be like, hey, there's a loophole. Hey, just get a $1 loan. No,
but the loophole would be, maybe the bankers would be like so depressed at work, they'll just give him $1.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
So they'll just be like, look, but he's not. Get out.
That's not a denominator tactic.
And he still needs to find 800,000 bankers.
I'm sure you can find 800,000 bankers that could get frustrated.
Would you diversify? Would you go to different banks to get different loans? I'm pretty sure you need to, man.
Well, one bank is 800,000 bankers.
Josh, we've accumulated the hours. Imagine if you worked your wage that you're working by the hour to that. Instead of spending each hour going to different people asking for a dollar.
So you make $4 an hour doing this over 100 years.
Just looking for change on the street.
And you can pay like $50 in petrol a day. Losing heaps of money to take out all these loans.
I can deduct it, right?
Yeah. Oh. Tax deductible.
But you're deducting it from zero tax.
You have no income.
You have no income, just a lot of loans.
So, in theory then, I shouldn't be borrowing 800,000, I should borrow slightly more to cover the petrol.
Or maybe just try and get $5 off each bank. Because you'd still piss them off enough that they might just give you $5 out of the wallet.
But Josh wants it to round down to zero.
At $5, you're still going to be paying off these loans.
Nah, he's going to pay it off instantly. He's going to be like, no, I want a $5 loan, and then you piss them off so much that they give you $5.
Exactly.
And then you're like, here's $5 to pay off this loan.
Someone's like, approved the loan. They're like, all right, fine. We'll do the stupid loan, and you just give them $5. I want to repay it. I want to pay it off now. They're like, what?
Thus defeating the purpose of the loan, and you pay $25 to get the loan in the
first place. You keep pissing them off.
So they're like, what the hell was that for? And you're like, well, now you're worth $25.
Or you can piss them off even more by like bringing in like new shit you buy. And just say like, I do have the
I got capital.
Disposable income to spend on all this stuff, but I still just want to piss you off by making you open all my $1 loans, $5
loans. So you're like starting an auction house inside a bank, essentially. You're just coming in with items to give them, to convince them to pay for your loan.
No, I'm not giving them the item.
He's
like,
showing them
I can pay off the loan.
Seems legit.
Oh, is that my proof?
Well, but you're asking, that's not how banks work.
Because the question number one.
I need an income statement. Here's the Blu-ray. $10.
Hey, guys, I just got Macca's for lunch. How much of a loan does that go?
Josh thinks that the process of getting a loan is just showing off all the expensive items that you have.
It's all these like people walking in with like heaps of bling.
Not even like not even bling.
Yeah, $2 shop bling.
Yeah, because they assess your income to see if you can pay back the loan.
Yeah. But
if you're like, I got this $10 Blu-ray.
I made it for $1 loan.
Or you're putting it down as security on the $1 loan.
No, you just want to show up. Even when you do get a proper loan, not the $1 loan, but when you get a proper loan to buy a house, I feel like you still would be super annoying. Like, they'll be like, all we need is your driver's license and your last pay slip. Please, just provide it.
Bring them JB Hi-Fi receipt.
Team America.
Here's my golden watch. And they're like, we don't care.
What would you bring? What would you bring to show off?
For $1 loan.
How wealthy you are.
Well, obviously, you just need to bring something that's worth a dollar.
So just rock up to the interview clothed?
And just point to yourself.
No, I mean, it's gotta be like a proven $1, so maybe like one of those like Freddos from the, like, you know, the charity Freddo boxes. Big, yeah. If you know that that's a dollar.
Yeah.
But like, what else is
why it? Didn't you just keep that dollar? I want to show you that I can pay it off.
No, he shows it. Instead of spending it all on Freddos.
It's proof that you have a disposable income. So you can dispose the income on whatever you want.
If I saw somebody just with a $1 Freddo, I wouldn't be like, that guy has a disposable income.
No, the question is, what do you think? That guy can get a $1 loan.
That's my thought process. I see someone with like a $1 Freddo, I'm like, that guy
can get a loan.
If that guy's got $1, I wonder how many more of those $1 he has.
From now on, every time
you just say, and there's plenty more when that
guy's throw a Freddo down on the table.
Keep the change. The rapper, just the rapper. You know, trying to get loans here.
Let's keep this professional, guy.
How are you seeing me approach the banker? Am I wearing a suit in your mind, or am I just like trying
to? In our mind, I don't think it matters.
I imagine you just wearing like a really daggy like track pants, and then like a really skimpy singlet that's like almost see through.
With a bit of stains on it.
It looks like you just woke up and you're watching TV and you had this genius idea.
And
I fell asleep in my pizza or something.
You can have like one of those money suits, but instead of money, it's like Freddo from The Office.
It's dollars. It's just made of $1. And they're like, why are you getting loans, man?
There's a hole in my jacket. I'm just trying to patch it up.
And like, it's almost like a striptease kind of thing with each loan that you pay back with each dollar.
And the thing is, I'll be like 100 when I finally strip down completely, right?
Yeah.
You'll be 100.
You'll be about 130.
No, by the time
that's not by the time you pay off. That's by the time you've opened them all.
That's true.
But your money suit business would be thriving.
So your plan is to get a 800,000 $1 loans and slowly strip yourself bare. Sometimes you pay it off with what you're wearing.
Yeah,
that would be a really heavy suit.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah,
you could make multiple suits. You don't have to make one suit with 800,000 $1.
It's like a reusable suit where you just like plug in the dollars. So after you've made all your loans that day, you just go to the teller.
That 100 years.
Can I please withdraw $500 in $1 coins to the same bank every day for 100 years?
I wonder if you go in, can you be like, oh, I want to close my $1 account, one of the 800,000, and they're like, oh, okay, so they just close one. You're like, no, not that one. That one.
I want to close
the specific one.
Yeah.
Imagine if you got letter statements. You'd get 800,000 letters a month.
Yeah.
Or emails, you get 800,000 emails.
Yeah, or emails.
This is where you could make the money.
Paper.
You get 800,000 pieces of paper.
And then they got stamps on them as well.
Recycle them, turn them into a recycling company and sell the paper to the bank.
Oh. Next level. Yeah. Do banks use stamps or are they beyond stamps? They're probably beyond
stamps. So you have like a robot of ripping off
stamps. Yeah, just ripping off stamps. Sell the stamp for like 20 cents, 800,000 times a month.
This is becoming one of those, like, trade-in, like, a stamp for an apple, trade an apple for a, like...
Yeah. No, you end up guys, with 800,000 apples, again. They will all explode, like, just one of them.
You're probably making money, but remember, it's still $25 per loan, right?
Yep.
So you're already 1.6...
All right, but I reckon million? The stamp business, if they use stamps, may pay it off. 20 cents a stamp, 800,000 times. Well, let's say 10 cents a stamp. That's $80,000 a month on stamps.
And they'd have to give you all of those every month.
Exactly.
For the entire 100 years.
But that's ramping up, so that's what you're earning at the end of 100 years.
Yeah.
You just become that's a really true. Sad person in a lot of debt that collects stamps.
Just trying to sell off all these stamps.
You're not collecting. Had a really dry mouth. So you look crazier and crazier as those 100.
You're wearing your $1 suit. Yeah. Licking stamps.
Wearing a dollar made of, a suit made of dollar coins and just like.
And a pants made of stamps. Like this.
I'd like a dollar loan, please.
But you must send me paper. Statements.
Although some places charge for paper statements.
The stamps.
They probably would go forward, yeah.
If they went all electronic, though, you'd be done.
Your
email would just like.
I would like to sell my emails, please.
He tries to get the email signature and cut it out and sell it. They want to reuse. End up licking the screen.
Going crazy here, guys. Just going a little bit crazy. Alright, so may not work. Put it to the side. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But we'll revisit.
It's a work in progress. Yeah. It's a work in progress.
Don't quit your day job. But and invest in it.
And then $4 an hour.
$4 an hour job?
But, you know, like, it took me forever to get, like, a loan, like, for everything to be settled and approved.
Yeah, because you went and asked him for a huge amount just for one loan.
Yeah, but if you'd have, like, 400,000 or
500,000 times. Silly. I'm imagining you think it's going to be so easy. Then you go out there, and then after a month, you're like, guys, I finally got my $1 loan approved. And we're like, awesome, awesome job.
I mean, I used to work in financial services. And, like, and the process was 40 days. To get a home loan approved.
Yeah, to get it approved. But it doesn't mean you need to wait 40 days before you can apply.
It took us like 2 weeks to put the documents together as well.
What documents? I got my photo.
It's your proof?
Yeah, unfortunately they don't accept photos.
I asked you to send through a pay slip and like all the data documents. And you just took a photo of your photo and is this to your liking?
Or instead of actually going down the path of actually taking those loans, you apply for 800,000 loans, and then you just use the paper from the documentation as a business. You just cut that down and recycle it. So you get free paper.
How many pages?
Every 2 weeks for 100
years.
But
why don't you just go through and, like, pick up newspapers and whatnot?
Wait, how many pages are there?
They don't have stamps.
I don't know. I don't think.
Newspapers cost money.
You gotta pay for it. How many pages come with a home loan application?
But you need to print those out because you're sending the application in.
So they email it to you. If you asked nicely for paper copies, would they send it to you?
Maybe not 800,000 times.
Damn.
Yeah,
I may fail.
But once you've done it once, you'll have enough paper coming back to you. You can do it forever from then on. So it'll be like,
what's your letterbox gonna look like? 800,000?
Just a bin out the front of your house. It's like
a skip bin.
Yeah, skip.
So I might need to hire some workers as well.
Yeah,
to sort through all of this.
You don't even have the money. You're getting loans.
Yeah, he's going to get more loans to pay the workers. So he may actually need to take out like 1.2 million.
Yeah,
800 for the house.
No, but I'm
for
just
the work.
Applying for it so I can get the first papers. It's not actually getting the loans anymore.
No, it's
the end goal for you to buy a house or do something with the 800,000, or is for you to set up this process, this convoluted process to just input me continuously ongoing? Just start it going.
Huge amounts of effort to recycle paper and leak stamps.
What's the end goal with the paper thing, right?
Yeah,
so you ask them for documents. And then what?
800,000. Just say they send you 20 pages, right?
Yeah.
800,000 times. What's that? 8 million? 16 million pages of paper. Then you take out more of a loan, a proper loan, to then build a recycling plant.
Hmm.
Boom.
You're in business.
Then you're selling the paper back to them.
Yeah.
Then
it's an easy way to get paper, right?
Is it? How? How do you get 16 million sheets of paper? I don't know. 800,000 loans do, though.
We're going to be monopolizing the paper business. That's all we're talking about.
So, let me get this right now. I'm getting lost. So you...
But you're turning your loan papers, which you need. You need
It's not about the loan. It's a loan.
It's about the papers. So you're just going to be $800,000 in debt.
No.
Locations. It's not like you don't actually take the loan.
He's just basically asking them for paper.
This is a way to get free paper now.
And then you go and recycle it. So that they send you sell the paper back to the bank, in which they send the paper to you to recycle again.
Exactly right.
You know, at some point they're gonna be like, what is this one email that we're sending all our paper to?
I don't think my recycling process is gonna be that thorough, so you can probably still see my statement on it.
I'm actually being really dodgy with it too, as in like Commonwealth, Westpac, ANZ, they're all pretty high up. They're not just going to buy paper from some shop.
This guy walks in with a trolley
and it's like pointing straight up.
And stamp pads.
like a gypsy.
And thinking that you've got all the cars and you're all the cars.
You need me. You need me.
Slowly, Australia's running out of paper. I wonder why.
Let's make a deal. Here. They're like, you're the jerk that's for 800,000 applications.
You know when you see broke people trying to like push an idea and like they try and sell it?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be me.
Yeah.
But like you holding all the 800 and then the wind comes. You're like, no.
A tornado of paper.
My investment.
And then all the money that you've gotten up to that point would be wasted on you paying the fine for.
You know what? I think there is a market for stamp pants.
Yeah.
I'm going to the hipster.
Yeah.
Hipster town.
I think like commune.
Stamp.
Like in the hills kind of commune.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah. Like the kind of place that
people... Are we talking about like stamp pants that look like they have stamps or actually pants made of stamps?
Or are you licking the stamps and putting them on your skin to like
camouflage those like are bad.
Permanent pants.
And it's really like really detailed, like it really goes into the crap and everything.
Paper mache skin.
How much would that cost? How many stamps do you think would be needed to cover your body, like your lower half?
Alright, what's the dimensions of a...
400.
Yeah.
400 stamps? Nah, it must be more than 400 stamps. Nah, way more than 400.
I'd say about 400.
Stamps, what, an inch by half an inch? Yeah, would you?
I'm just kind of good.
He's counting now.
You guys talk, we're gonna work this out.
Okay, so, like... Let's go with the Queen Elizabeth stamp. So that would be about 2x1.
Surely
2x2.
Surely some English person is going to object to like Queen Elizabeth stuck up your butt.
More Queen Elizabeth on my genitals. That's more of the issue.
Waiting for an answer, Jace.
Yeah.
We went.
Oh man, this is.
No, how much would we sell the pants for? Well,
we need to work out how many it is.
It depends on if the stamps are second hand, then you could sell them as.
And you're not really selling
like
them
because this is a good byproduct to the recycling paper.
Yeah, and you could do like RRP. You know how people say like regular retail price is this? Yeah. Like, so all the stamps together.
RIP.
Regularly would be like $300 worth of stamps, but. For this item, you're only paying like,
guys, but we are talking $50. About like a one-time use pants, right?
Does that mean that we have to
once you take it off, you'll put it back on again?
Yeah. It's like a Forrest Gump style situation, like with the legs kind of like
just slowly go.
But do we have to ask
them
to come in?
No, what you do is you actually get the stamps, but then that's like the glue stuff, like the vinyl stuff that you put on it.
Yeah.
So then it just holds together.
So you're saying you don't stick the stamps to your skin.
So you ask, you still glue.
It'd be like starched jeans.
Why don't you use fishnet stockings or just normal stockings? Because then it'll be tight. It would look like it's on your skin.
Mm.
Where the stamps come in?
I reckon we need to bring them in and just get people who have a lot of saliva To lick all the stamps, and then if they want stamp pairs, they come in for like about a 12-hour session, and we just stamp the whole thing.
You gotta contour the stamp.
Make it stick. Does the stamp sound more like some kind of fetish situation?
You get like stamp me.
So it doesn't need to be saliva. Can you just use water?
Oh yeah,
no,
but
there's the dabby thing.
Yeah,
it's water. It's water.
Yeah, it's water.
Yeah.
So they just get out of the shower and you stamp it. You don't need a lick.
Yes, you do.
But it can't be too wet because it can't soak through.
Mm.
Because then if they get out of the shower, then you got to like rub them with the stamp and then stick it on. That's going to be a bit sensual.
Their lips will be soaked.
It's a little sensual, not essential to be licked for 12 hours.
Unless they only shower the top half. And then you
and then
dab it
dry
on the top
bottom
and
up,
then,
dab on
yeah,
top,
yeah.
Stick it on the bottom.
Like, sounds good.
Yeah.
So how many stamps, Jason?
I can't work out.
What's your estimation, though?
I would estimate about 25 stamps going straight down your leg.
Depending how tall you are.
Yeah, depending on how tall you are.
So for me, 20.
Maybe. No,
maybe
more 30. Than 25.
That'd be like a 3-quarter.
Oh, yeah, probably more.
Because
yeah. You still need to go to your waist. It's not just your leg, and it's showing you.
This is it. This is what, I reckon what you need to do is get a piece of paper, like a big A1 sheet of paper, wrap it around your leg, cut it to the shape of your leg, and then measure it out. Then you can work out how many stamps you need.
So you're making pants. You're actually just
pants. You're making paper pants.
Why don't you just get your pants, open them up?
Yeah, pants, open them up, and then measure. Or you can just... Someone...
instead of licking, use a sewing machine.
My area is not awesome.
And then you sell your stamp pants made of denim and a sewing machine. You sell them.
So the brand name is Stamp Pants.
And people will be like, why is your brand called Stamp Pants? You're like, isn't it obvious?
It started from the idea.
Which episode do you reckon we're going to say pants more? This? Or the pants episode?
No, pants episode definitely has more.
And then that's like a real... I reckon if you say, like, what pants? Hey, are you pants? And you can say, I'm Stamp Pants. I think that's a whole new... I don't even know what that means.
That means you're ready to go. That's what's that mean?
No, I think Stamp Hands is like in the middle of like this giant hair braid scheme where he's trying to make money.
Wait. When you say Stamp Hands, are we talking denim jeans? Like the evolution of stamps, or are you talking about stamps have just been stuck to your body?
Stamps have stuck to my bottom half of my body.
I think we addressed... That's not gonna work.
There was a lady who went out and she it was like some social experiment and all she did was paint pants on her bottom half and just went out.
That's the same social experiment they have on YouTube. You know, the social experiment.
You can't paint skirts.
No, yeah, you can't.
Depending how flabby your thighs are.
Yeah, you can paint a skirt if you have an apron long enough.
Or if you've got a webbed legs.
Webbed legs!
Oh, it's nasty.
So I don't think that plays a purpose in evolution. Webbed
like,
legs.
Oh.
There was always a need for webbed legs.
You're like, look at her legs just... No, look at a skirt in the wind. You're like, oh... Oh my goodness.
The question is, to make it look realistic, are we talking about webbing so that it's just a thin web between the front and the back, or is it like a thick web up to the knee?
That would cause a lot of difficulty.
No, I see a purpose. So when the woman gives birth, and it just slides straight
up. It's an emergency, it's an emergency slide off an aeroplane.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's assuming the woman could give birth having webbed legs.
Yeah, how's that work?
Like, could actually conceive a child.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the webbing. Maybe the webbing splits the front and the back holes.
Actually, like a skirt.
Yeah, but then you'd just be urinating on yourself a little
bit. Web legs, you're pretty much as a mermaid at that point, right?
Yeah, but the issue is, you can't even swim with it though, because your bottom legs are split.
This is
you're only webbed until legs and thighs.
You're like a mermaid, but with calves at the end.
It's actually a nightmare. This is
It's really weird.
It's in like Pan's Labyrinth. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
It's like when you're trying to run with your knees together.
Yeah. Oh, terrific. Oh, boy.
And that's scary. Yeah, they definitely do like a, you know, non-discrimination like thing at school where they just tie everyone's shoelaces together and get them to run. They're like, this is what it's like to have web legs.
This now, is what it's like to be Susan.
Yeah, don't make fun of Susan anymore.
How do we go for time?
1:12.
1:12.
1 hour 12.
Rounding it down. If we get 800,000, 1:12.
That acid is really strong.
Josh wants to make 800,000 1 minute episodes.
Get ready, people. They're coming daily now.
Well, that's all we got time for tonight. And yeah, thanks for listening to us rattle on about crap. But hope you enjoyed yourself. We had Jace
feeling post pants.
Lydia.
Yep. same here, buddy. Agreed.
We had Callum.
See you later.
Josh.
I'm quite stamp pants. So.
And I was Tom. See you guys later.
He's not Tom anymore.
I was Tom. Maybe someone else next time. I also may cure cancer. Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Burn.